Please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. And would you join me as we pray? Invite the Lord to guide our time together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence today in the name and power of Jesus, we understand from your word that we approach your throne as it is a throne of grace. We can come to find help in time of need, to receive mercy and grace, to help us in the situations and circumstances that we are facing, the relational difficulties, the financial struggles, the physical ailments, the spiritual battle that rages around us. We come to you, the Almighty One, because your throne is a throne of grace. And today we ask, as we open your word, as we begin to look into the life of a servant of yours, a man we were reminded of last week with a nature like ours. He's no different than us. He's not a superhuman, a super Christian. He is simply a man who chose to trust you rather than to trust himself. A man who chose to walk in that trust by obeying you, doing what you've called him to do. So today, Lord, and as we continue with this study into the weeks to come, would you open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive. And Father, may we walk in light of the truth that you reveal to us. Thank you for the privilege that we have to have your word in our own language, to study it. And so today, as we look at it together, will you guide our steps, that we would be accurate to what your word says. And we ask all this once again in the name of Jesus. How many of you believe that because my wife plays the piano and even teaches piano, that I can then play the piano? Doesn't work that. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. The fact is, I can't play the piano because I'm related to or I'm in relationship with somebody who can play. In fact, I could know everything there is to know about this instrument, the way it is built, the way that the strings are put in there, the way the hammer hits the strings when the keys are pushed down. I can know how many keys there are. I can know what every key means. I can know everything there is about music and still not be able to play the piano. If by playing the piano we mean actually playing something that sounds good and fits with a song. We know that the only way to learn how to play the piano is by playing the piano, right? Practicing the piano. Well, the same is true in any area of life that where we're developing a skill. I mean, anybody with any sense of coordination can kick a soccer ball. But you put a coordinated person who can kick a ball on a soccer field with other players who have developed their skills, he is going to look very uncoordinated, or she. The reality is that in order to develop a skill, you've got to practice it. We all know that. And yet when it comes to our spiritual lives, we often do not think in terms of practicing our faith. We just think it should mysteriously just be there. We should just have it all. I want to suggest to you that just as learning to play the piano means you've got to play the piano, we learn to trust the Lord by trusting the Lord. We cannot be great men, women of faith because our parents were great men and women of faith. Or because our spouse is, or because our whoever. We learn to trust the Lord by trusting the Lord. And what we see with the life of Elijah is that God is taking him through at the beginning of the life that we have revealed for us here. God is taking him through circumstances in which he is learning to trust the Lord by having to trust the Lord. Because God has something for him down the road that is incredibly significant. And so he's teaching him to trust the Lord by putting him in circumstances where he has to trust the Lord. And we see a couple of those circumstances here in chapter 17. Time will not permit us to cover all that is in chapter 17, so we're only going to focus on the first point in the outline today. We'll pick up the second two points next week. But let me read the chapter for us. 1 Kings 17, verses 1 through 24. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here, turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he went, and he would drink from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." And she was going to get it. He called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said to him, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first, and bring it to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." She went and did according to the word of Elijah. She and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. And it came about that after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness was so severe, there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You've come to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death." Said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. And he called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, Lord my God, thou hast also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die." And he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's life return to him." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." As I said, we'll look at the bulk of this next time, but I want to focus on the first seven verses, where we see trusting the Lord to provide. Elijah was told by God to go to Samaria, which is where the capital of Israel was at that time, where the palace was, where Ahab was living, and to go there and to tell Ahab it's not going to rain for these years. Not even dew will not fall to the ground for these years except by my word. And then God said, run. Go hide yourself on the other side of the Jordan by the brook Cherith. And I'll provide for you there. And so Elijah goes. What is it that Elijah was learning? At least these two things. Number one, God is able to provide. God is able to provide. He commanded the ravens to provide food for Elijah. I'm not sure why he chose a raven. I don't know why he would have chosen a raven. There's nothing good about ravens, especially football teams called Ravens. And it's just ironic that the Steelers are playing the Ravens today. To me, this is a sign. Just as God commanded the ravens to provide food for Elijah, I believe he's going to command the ravens to provide interceptions and fumbles for the Steelers today. That may be taking the word out of context a little bit. Of course, you Ravens fans are saying God's going to command the ravens to provide a win today, so that would really be out of context. But here we have God telling Elijah, I will provide for you. And he does so in an unconventional way. Ravens are going to bring meat and bread to you to sustain you, to provide for you so that you will live. And then the brook is going to provide the water for you so that you have food and water. What we need to understand is that the ravens were not the provision, not the ones who were providing. God was providing. The ravens were the transportation. God is able to provide. We don't learn from this that ravens are able to provide, or any bird or any animal is able to provide for us. No. The way in which God chooses to do it is not the critical issue. The issue is God is able to provide for His own. If we don't believe that God is able to provide, we will never, ever step out from our comfort zone. We will never step out when God is calling us to do something we've never done before, something we don't know how it's going to turn out. We'll never step into that if we don't believe God can provide. I would submit to you there is no way in all the world that Elijah would have called for the 450 prophets of Baal to stand on the mountain and harass them as he did if he did not believe that God was able to provide fire from heaven to consume that. I believe God is teaching Elijah a very valuable lesson that will be used in his life down the road, and that is simply that God is able to provide. He is able. But here's the kicker in the story. that God has provided through the through these birds who are bringing the meat and the bread. And I'm sure it wasn't already cooked and it wasn't in good shape. You know, these birds are just dropping it there. But then the water, right? He's getting water. And you need water to survive. But guess what happens to the brook? God's provision of water dries up. That's a little problem in the story for me when I think about God is providing, and then God's provision stops. Well, I thought God was able to provide. Why would it stop? What do you do when the provision of God dries up? Have you ever been there? I have. What are we supposed to do? Well, we can fret, we can fear, we can doubt, we can wonder, is God really able? Is God faithful? We probably think, maybe God doesn't really love me. Maybe God's tired of me. Maybe God has set me aside. Maybe God said, you're done. I'm not using you anymore. Use someone else. So that's why I dried up. You ever felt like that? When I resigned from Greencastle Bible Church, I felt like that. I thought, I guess I'm done. Part of me wanted to be done because it was so hard. I thought, well, maybe God's going to set me aside. I felt as if I had failed and therefore concluded I was a failure. And ironically, it was through God's provision that I began to believe again that God was not done with me. You see, when I resigned, I couldn't collect unemployment because according to the state, the country, as a senior pastor of a church, I'm considered self-employed. I don't get unemployment. I can't. Therefore, I had no income, except for my wife, who was taking on more piano students, but that was not going to be sufficient to provide for our family in the long run. But God saw fit to touch the shoulders of several people, some of whom are in this room today, to say, I'm going to write a check to help provide for me and my family for those months. God supplied so much that I had, for the 3 months that I didn't have a job, I had enough money. I had the pretty much the same amount I was making when I resigned. Through God's provision. And what that did for me was it helped me to see God is able to provide. And God is not done with me yet. It reassured my faith. It caused me in that moment to realize whether I have a job or don't have a job, God is providing. See, in reality, there's nothing more any more supernatural about God providing for Elijah through the ravens and the brook than God providing for you and me through a job. Because that job can end tomorrow. Any one of these circumstances can change in a moment. God provides. He chooses the means by which He provides, but it's Him that provides. And when that means of provision dries up, we need to make sure we do not misunderstand what God is doing or come to a wrong conclusion about God or about ourselves. There's two truths to keep in mind in the context of the story. Number one, the brook dried up as a direct result of Elijah's words and Elijah's prayer. He went to the king and said, "There will not be neither rain nor dew for these years." And James tells us, we looked last week, he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, basically that drought would come, and then drought came. So this was the result of his own prayer, directed by God. I don't remember everything that I prayed when I was going through, when we were going through all that. Some of us went through that together. But as we were going through, I don't remember what specific things I prayed exactly, but I know one of the desires of my heart, one of the prayers was that we would have a healthy congregation. As I look back now, I realize God had to dry up the brook to get to the answer to the prayer. Church has a different name today than it did then. But when you're in the drought, you don't know that. You don't know what the future looks like. But we can trust that God does and God is able. The other truth that strikes me is that here, as the man of God, he is not exempt from facing the consequences of the sin of the people. It's the sin of the people of Israel that caused God to tell him to go to the king and say, "It's not going to rain." Because we saw last week in Deuteronomy, God warned them years and years before, "If you do not, or if you obey my words, then I will continue to bless the land and I will continue to pour out rain. But if you choose not to, I will not send the rain." And so here we have the consequences of the sin of the nation. And as the man of God, he's not exempt from that. And what we need to remember is, as the people of God, we're not somehow protected from the consequences of living in a fallen world and living in a culture that is going to hell in a handbasket. We are not exempt from that. We experience the consequences of that. That doesn't mean God is not able. It means that God is choosing to use something in His providence to prove Himself. God is able. Second truth is that God's direction includes God's provision. God's word came to Elijah, verse 2, 3, and 4. Right? "Go away from here. Turn eastward and hide yourself there at the brook, east of the Jordan, and it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." The instructions that God gives includes the provision that God has for them, for him. In other words, if you do what I tell you to do, I will provide for you. I think that the assumption in that is that if Elijah did not go to the brook, he would not have gotten meat and bread from the raven. He would not have, because that's where God was going to provide. God told him to go there. That was God's instruction. He obeyed God's instructions, and God did what He said He would do. Obedience is a critical part of God's provision because it is the demonstration of our trust. We can say all day long, "We trust God, we trust God, we trust God." But when God says, "Do this," when God's word is very clear and we choose not to do that, we're saying we don't trust God because we don't believe God's word. We don't believe Him at His word. We think we know better. If I was Elijah, I'd be on my way there. I'd be thinking to myself, yeah, what is that going to look like? The birds are just going to drop food down from the sky. I've never seen that happen before. Really? I think I just need to go get a part-time job. I need to go find some other means. And then I'll show up at the brook every night and see if God did it. God told him what to do. He did it. God provided. So what do we do when our brook dries up? Well, first of all, we ask God for more direction. What happened with Elijah? Verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him. And he gave him more instruction. Go to Zarephath. I'll provide for you there. So we wait on the Lord for more direction. While we're waiting, we do what we already know to do. Don't stop obeying what we know while we're waiting for Him to give more instruction. Keep putting Him first. Keep realizing He is able. Keep focusing upon that reality. And the other thing that kind of hits me as I think about this is, God said, I will provide. And then what happened was they came and brought food in the morning and food in the evening, which tells me He didn't have enough food in the morning to sustain him to the evening. He was trusting God not only day by day, but really hour by hour. You live one day at a time. Turn to the New Testament for a moment to Matthew chapter 6. I want you to see as I read these words. It's a passage that's somewhat familiar to us, but one that I think we need to remind ourselves of, because we are prone to worry, to be concerned about so much. And you ever thought about the fact that most of what we worry about, most of what concerns us, is really a first world problem? It's not something that anyone in the rest of the world probably ever even thinks about. Oh, is my new refrigerator going to come today? Oh, I'm so worried. People get worried about stuff like that. Oh, is this little thing going to happen, or am I not going to? Again, I realize we live in a culture that is dependent upon some of these things, but we worry and fret about so many things. Listen to the words of Jesus, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows, and God is able to provide. Verse 33, but what do we do then? When we're waiting for God, Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, go where I told you to go, do what I told you to do, and then guess what? The meat and the bread and the water will be there until I say it's time to move from there to go somewhere else. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Put that as the priority, and then these things come. Therefore, verse 34, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. One day at a time. You and I do not know what God is up to when He dries the brook up. Vance Havner, in his book, It Is Toward Evening, is the title of the book. It tells a story of farmers who were raising cotton in the Deep South when the devastating boll weevil invaded the crops. These men had put all of their savings, dedicated all their fields, set all their hopes on cotton. A boll weevil came, and before long, it looked as if they would all be in the poorhouse. But farmers, being the determined and ingenious people they are, decided, well, we can't plant cotton, let's plant peanuts. Amazingly, those peanuts brought them more money than they would have ever made raising cotton. When the farmers realized what seemed like a disaster had actually proved to be a benefit, they erected a large and impressive monument to the boll weevil, a monument to the very thing they thought would destroy them. Sometimes we settle into a humdrum routine as monotonous as growing cotton year after year, says Havner, himself a seasoned old saint of God at the time he wrote those words. Then God sends the boll weevil, and He jolts us out of our groove. We must find new ways to live. Financial reverses, great bereavement, physical infirmity, loss of position. How many have been driven by trouble to be better husbandmen and to bring forth far finer fruit from their souls? The best thing that ever happened to some of us is the coming of our boll weevil, the drying of our brook. The very thing we were depending upon goes away, dries up, is no more. You see, when God directs, God provides, He is able. And the very thing that is bringing discouragement, pain, difficulty, uncertainty may be the very thing that God is using to move you from where you are to where He wants you to be next. And God is using these things as training ground. We would never sign up for some of the training sessions God has for us. God says, well, because I want to train you to trust Me, I will put you in a situation where you have no other recourse but to do what? Trust Me. And then I will show you who I am. I will prove that I am able. And as I give you direction, you will learn to trust My instruction, and you will follow that, and My provision will come in the midst of My instruction. And you will prove Me to a watching world. And My name will be lifted up and glorified. And He will answer the prayer that we pray. Oh God, use me. Lord, help me to be faithful to You, to let My light shine for You. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name, right? May Your name be exalted. How is His name going to be exalted? Oftentimes when we're in a situation where we have to trust Him and we prove He is able, and the world is looking confoundedly and saying, how does this happen? Why would you believe God to do that? Because God is able. I believe it. So, when there, as you think about where you are right now. Some of you. Or maybe in a place where things are going really well. There's no dried up brook. The brook's flowing well. Rejoice in God's provision. Continue to do the things you know to do. Because it could be that next week, next month, next year, that brook dries up. And God is preparing you in the midst of your faithfulness and the provision to have your ears open to His direction. And some of you are in a place where the brook has dried up. Maybe it's been dry for a while. Maybe it just dried up. I pray that you will find encouragement in the life of Elijah to stay on course, to keep believing God, to keep trusting Him in His Word, keep looking to His Word for new direction, for guidance, and keep doing the things you know He has said in His Word. Be faithful because you know and believe God is faithful and God is able. Even what your eyes can't see, what your emotions can't feel, believe it based upon the Word of God. And begin to thank Him for the dried up brook. Thank Him for the boll weevil. As you believe that God is going to direct you into His next provision. Father God, thank You that these truths are not just for temporary things. The reality is that we live for eternity. That the things that are going on in our life right now are Your provision to move us, to redirect us, to teach us greater trust for the things You have for us in the future, some of which is in the near future, some of it is in the eternal future. But You don't waste anything. And we're thankful that that's the case. Or many of us can look back in our life and see the difficulties, the tragedies, the things we thought in the moment were going to destroy us, and we can see how You were at work in those things to strengthen our faith and trust in You. Look back and we know we had nothing to fret about. Or may that cause us to keep believing in Your provision today as we face the next uncertainty. Or as You call us to step out into something new and different, something that we're not used to, something that we don't know what's going to happen. As You're leading us there, Lord, we trust that You're leading, Your direction includes Your provision. You're ahead of us. You know what You're doing. May we learn to trust You by trusting You today. Father, thank You for Your reminder. Thank You for Your servant. Thank You that he learned it and his life shows us how to learn. Well, thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing together?